Newt, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, we got some good old faithful folks out there today joining us here on Labor Day. I kind of laid down last night, thought, golly, am I going to be alone this morning? Because I didn't really say, you know, I didn't say anything about doing a show here on holidays, but those of you who watch the show regularly know we don't take off those holidays. We're here every morning, and good to see if we got, well, according to what I see, 19 in the queue. There'll probably be some getting in later. You know, when you have the chance to sleep in, that's kind of a, the guys who never get the chance to sleep in, that's pretty tempting thing to do. I want to say thanks to Chad. I was down at Chad Estes. I flew in down in Austin, Texas. Don't worry for, yeah, Austin. Michelle and I, Austin, we were there. Stayed Chad's on Thursday, stayed at Chad's on Friday. He and his wife, Michelle, gave us great hospitality. We were there for the Jeremiah Thomas celebration of life. It was powerful, really, really good. And got home yesterday after Saturday afternoon. Got home Saturday afternoon. You know, it's amazing, isn't it? Air travel's amazing. I said to Michelle, as we were getting back on the plane in Austin, would my grandfather even explain? Could I even explain to my grandfather that I was going to get up in the morning in wherever I was, Austin, Texas, and be home in a few hours? Is that even? Can you ever imagine, conceive of 100 years ago saying to somebody, hey, I'm going to go to Florida for the weekend, be back. How long that used to be? My dad always told the story about my great-grandfather. They asked my great-grandfather one time back in the early 40s, I think it was, if he'd ever been out of the state. And he said, I've been to, I was to Columbus one time. Now, that's all good, except Columbus is the state, the capital of the state. And back then, as a Melungeon down in the hills of Ohio, I guess getting to Columbus was kind of getting out of the state. Think how close we are. Think what would have been like if Jesus had been around today. My goodness, well, he is. We know that, but he'd come with all this mass communication and everything we have. Would we? I don't know. I'll talk about the heart of men a little bit today. Got to see Dale down there. Although Dale, I didn't hardly spend any time at all with you down there, man. I'm sorry. There's like a family reunion, really, down there for Jeremiah's funerals. Brother Flip Benham preached an unbelievable sermon. Rusty gave a challenge to the young kids. And, of course, there was a football game on Friday night, which Michelle and I weren't able to get to. Another celebration of life. And to see, really, the impact that Jeremiah's had. We're going to have to at some point. I'm not going to talk about it today. We're going to have to change the way we view death. We have to change the way we view life. You know, the scripture says, unless the seed falls into the ground and dies. Well, we hate death, don't we? We don't really have a proper perspective on it, on death. And that would be a show worth its own weight in gold to do that. And I'm not going to do it this morning. Anybody want to weigh in here on anything before we dive into what we want to talk about today? Somebody come on in here. Chad or Dale or Ray LeBlanc. I saw Ray LeBlanc in a three-piece suit. It was an amazing thing to see. Ray, you look good. Cleaned up pretty good. Rob Pugh, I noticed, is in here. Rob, are you home? Did you get home yet? Rob was down there. Am I working? Is anybody hearing me? Nobody's saying. There's somebody say something.
Yeah, we got
I called Rob Pugh's that. I see him on there, but he was having trouble with his phone connections as far as being able to speak into it.
Okay, well, he's there. He's probably getting ready to go for his early flight home.
No, we got
you guys get home yesterday?
Oh, you're home already. Well, good. Made it home.
It's nice of you to come down there, Rob. And, you know, folks, when you go to a funeral like that, there are a lot of people there. And, you know, Kendra, Rusty's wife, said something to me. It's hard to get to them, right? You want to go there and you want to, you know, you want to give your condolences. And it's hard to go to one of those things and give your condolences and not dominate the time. I watch people stand in line, and so some person would stand up and talk to Rusty, and then they would take 10 minutes, and there are 100 people standing in line behind them. I think, my goodness, we got another time to be able to do this. Just come up and let them know you're there and you're thinking about them. And, you know, Kendra, I didn't get a chance to see Rusty nor Kendra till I was ready to leave. I just didn't make the chance to see either one of them. Kendra said, "Oh, Coach, I want you to know that we were in there in the funeral, and she said, I was sitting up there and I was praying, and all of a sudden, in the back of the room, I heard your voice. And she said, it warmed my heart." So it's kind of cool, isn't it? I yelled out amen or something when Flip was preaching, is probably what it was, and she heard it and it warmed her voice. And really, that's all you go. And what do you say to someone just lost a kid? What do you say? Yeah. "Oh, you'll be okay, Rusty. You got 11 other ones." I mean, what do you say? So the whole idea just to be there and just show comfort and respect and it was good. Really good. Glad to be part of it. Hey, Chad Estes, real quickly, brother. I see you're in there. Run over 2 weeks what's coming up there at the Estes Ranch, where Michelle and I were just for the weekend. Can you do that for us real quick, Chad? Actually, I called a bunch of people to come in, then didn't give anybody a chance to say anything. Yeah, I might just be maybe sitting on the job. Anybody? Nobody. Quiet people today. Okay. Doesn't matter. I'll dive into it here.
It was good seeing you too, Coach.
Yeah, Dale, I'm sorry we didn't get to spend more time.
Well, I was like you. I did not get to say goodbye to Kendra till the night of the football game, and I knew that we were leaving in the morning. And for Rusty, I went to the wake. I'm sorry, brother. I mean, I'm like family with Rusty. I just went up and cut in front of everybody. I saw exactly what you were saying. It's like, come on, guys. Just go love him and walk away.
Yeah. But, you know, here's what it is, though, Dale. And I understand. People want to testify to him, right? And you want to go up and say, "Rusty, let me tell you this. I felt about, you know, all these nice things you want to say. And Jeremiah did this. And Jeremiah really touched my heart. And blah, blah, blah." And so, you know, it could take some time. People come a long ways. They deserve some time with the person that they came to see, but it's tough. Rusty knows we're there, and I was honored to be able to be there. I'm sorry to get to spend more time with big family. It was a big family reunion in a lot of ways, wasn't it? So appreciate that. Chad's evidently sleeping on the job. He can't get in there. So amen. Trying to see who is here. Okay, listen, crazy stuff going on as usual in the world. Are you guys followers of Q at all? Anybody out there follow Q? I do. I'm going to try to tie some things together here. I've become more and more convinced. If you guys watched the McCain funeral, which I did, sitting in the airport, the only thing on is CNN. And when I was in the airport on, what day were we coming home? Saturday. The McCain funeral was live. And that Meghan McCain was crying in my ear up off of CNN. I'm telling you, I want to get up and break the TV and hit somebody. The propaganda is so unbelievably thick everywhere that you look. And who did you see there? Who did you see? See, folks, listen, it's a psyop. You understand this, don't you? The psyop. John McCain got a funeral like a president. Now, it was amazing. Amazing. And who was there? Georgie Bush, Obama. All those guys were there. All of the deep state was there. And Chad and I had a conversation about it. Maybe it was Chad. I don't remember who had the conversation. You know what it really was? You know what we witnessed? I believe this. I believe we witnessed that was the funeral for the deep state. That was laying to bed the old political system. I pray to the Lord that it was. It was very clear that there was a divide there. And as you saw, it isn't Republican and Democrat. That's not what it is.
It's good versus evil, brother.
It's good versus evil. Still very, very clear. Still very, very clear. And I continue to be amazed at the number of people who cannot find it in their heart to come over to the Trump side. I just can't. It's unbelievable.
Hey, Coach.
And I don't know what the deception is, but there is a great, great deception. It's called, yes, Larry.
I saw a post on my Facebook timeline today that somebody put up there that Trump was at that funeral. He was living rent-free in every one of those people's brains.
He was, wasn't he? He was. And why is it? You know, I'm telling you, there's a real spiritual element to what's going on, and most of us are not picking it up. I got several good things here I want to dig into. Yeah, I'm a bit conflicted because I got something really great to I told you on Friday, don't miss Monday. Remember that? I looked down and there's a lot of people missing today, and I think I'm going to hold it off till Monday, or till tomorrow. That's why I'm struggling here a bit. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm going to share this with you real quick. I had a bit of a revelation this weekend. You guys have all heard that? Does anybody know where that is in the scripture? I know where it is. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we use that to say that everybody calls out the Lord. He said, you're saved. You're saved. And through a series of events, I was reading my scriptures this weekend, and I came across that scripture. I was on the airplane, and I read it, and I said to my wife, O-M-G. O-M-G. Oh, my God. And I elbowed her. I said, look at this. Look at this. Want me to share it with you? I've never seen it, ever. Never seen it before. And it's like one of those phrases we hear all the time. God loves those who help them. God helps those who help themselves. And God will never give you more than you can handle. All these things that are semi-biblical, but you really don't find them anywhere in the scripture, right? And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, I think maybe is one of those. You with me? Let's dig in here real quick. Then I'm going to come back to this other stuff. This is the conflict I'm having trying to get it out. I was in Joel, book of Joel. Let's go there real quick. Does Jared have that up there? He's not that far ahead of me, is he? He can't be, because I didn't even tell him about that. Book of Joel's Old Testament, by the way. And, God, this is long. I don't want to read all of the book of Joel. But stay with me, because I blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in the holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. For it is nigh at hand. So we're talking about what's the subject? The day of the Lord is coming. All right? A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall by be any more after it, even to the years of many generations, the people. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run, like the noise of chariots on the tops of the mountain. Folks, listen. Stay with me. He's talking about a particular time and a particular place. Stay with me. Jared, let's go ahead. As he's talking about all this, let's go ahead, Jared, to 20. I'm looking at my scripture. I'm not looking away. To 28. He talks about all this thing that's coming, and the Lord's going to pull out a spirit of all flesh. Let me find that, Jared. Yes, verse 26. Start at 26, Jared. And you shall eat in plenty of 25. And I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, and the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer wort, my great army which I sent among you, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. There's something happened. The great and dreadful day of the Lord's coming, and there's light that's happening afterwards, after this great and dreadful day of the Lord. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, and that it'll dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed, and you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the God that the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed, and it shall come to pass afterward. Oh, I hate it when I love it when it happens to me.
Just that one little word. Just that one little word. And it shall come to pass afterward. After that happens, then I'm going to pour out the Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit. In those days, afterward in those days, the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon be into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass, and it shall come to pass, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Say, have we been using that scripture out of context? Have we been applying that scripture continuously throughout the ages? When this scripture is very, very time sensitive, tells us the exact specific time when he pours out his Spirit upon all flesh, and sons and daughters begin to prophesy, and young men shall dream dreams, and old men shall see visions, and then what's going to happen? It's going to come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name. Let me see.
Yeah, shall be saved. Doesn't say is saved.
Is that's we're working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Are we? Have we missed the mark a little bit on that? So you said, "Well, Coach, that's not the only place it says it. It's not the only place it says that, Coach." I said, "Really? Let me see here, because I pulled it up on here just before I went to work here this morning. It says it also in. Oh, did I move that? I had it right here in front of me. Is this conditional, folks? Always. Now, oh, Lord, got to be careful. To walk out, walk an aisle, and say a prayer. Call upon the name of the Lord. Are you saved? That's part of the discussion we have. Can you bear with me a second? Because somehow I closed out the one I wanted to use. Bear with me. Come on, somebody say something while I'm looking. This is why I've been conflicted. I didn't really want to go here yet, but I think it's important.
Along with what you're saying, remember when you're reading the Bible that every time you see the little two-letter word if, I-F, there is always a condition attached to an if.
Amen. Amen. Listen, please understand me. I'm not saying if you genuinely call out the name of the Lord, that you'll be saved. I'm not saying that. I believe that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I do believe that. But I believe what we just read there was conditional. And then I look in Acts 2:21, Jared. See if you can go there, Acts 2:21. Boy, I mean, this. Sometimes you get a little revelation like this, and it's crazy. Jared, let's go to 17. 17, Acts 2:17. Boy, huh? Here it is again. But verse 16, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. He's talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. Coming of the Holy Spirit, right? This all come to pass in the last days, saith God. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall dream visions. Your old men shall see dreams. And on my servant, my handmaids, I'll pour out those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon into the moon, before the great notable day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, somebody help me. Is that conditional or not? Is whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord? It's only said in Joel. Except I found another one. Jared, where am I? Romans 10:13. Romans 10:13. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And so whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they believe on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except that they be sent? Here's my question. Covered up my microphone. Here's a difference in my mind. Somebody help me out here. I think he's saying here that you don't have to be a Jew. You don't have to be, you can be a pagan. You can be whatever. The gospel of Jesus is forever. And so whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But I think The other times they're saying it, it's almost conditional. After the coming and leading of the Holy Spirit, are you going to be saved? In the last days when I pour out the Spirit. Change my perspective.
Coach, you just had the mic drop moment. You're going to be saved. It says mm-hmm. shall be a future action, event, or process. Not you are or you is saved.
Right. You work out your own salvation in fear, with fear and trembling, because what? The moment that you need to be saved is at the time when that judgment comes upon you, and you work out your own salvation. And when God forgives you and God applies his grace to you, then you are saved. I'm on my way to being saved. I'm working out my own salvation with fear and trembling. So for me to say, as I sit here right now, I am saved is not true. It's a future event. Am I confusing anybody today?
Nope. Blessed is he who endureth to the end, for he shall receive the crown of salvation.
So Dale, when I'm walking around saying, telling people I'm saved, it's really not true, is it?
I'm sanctified.
I'm sanctified. I'm heading towards it. I'm working it out. I'm working it out.
You know what's unique? I'm sorry, Coach. You know, if with everything that happened this weekend, my message this week, you know, this is Labor Day weekend. This is where we honor those who work. And I brought to the scripture those who begin to build the tower but didn't complete it. I said it became a mockery. I said it's not about when you begin and jump in the race. It's not about it's if you finish the race. You have to finish this race.
The journey of salvation. Salvation is assured, but you have to get to the finish line. And so we have used what Joel just described. I'm telling you, I just feel this so deep. We've used this scripture out of context. Yes, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Yes, that is true. However, it appears here, there's a connection between the pouring out of the Holy Spirit and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit then will enable you to be saved.
And Coach, also you have to take into account the aspect, the name of the Lord is not his label or title. It is his authority and the essence of who he is, not his title or label.
Well, boy, it's who he is. He is the Word, isn't he? He is the truth. He's all those things. I got something busting in me. Once get out and go save it for tomorrow. That piggybacks off of it. But I want all of you out there to think. Just think about it. Here's the point that I'm trying to make right now. We are hearing. We say stuff that we repeat just because we've heard others say it. And we haven't really investigated it ourselves. That jumped out and hit me right in the face when I was reading that out of Joel. And it shall come to pass that whosoever, it shall come to pass. There will be a time when whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Am I losing anybody? Not Larry. I know Larry's following me. Am I missing it somewhere? I know Dale said he's getting it.
No, anybody? You got it.
Lindo, you got it? You with me?
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
I can give you scripture in every single book of the New Testament that destroys the once saved, always saved argument, from the parables of the sower and the seed to every single book of the New Testament. I'll paste them in the comments later. But just because you're the coach and you like your sports, I'll give you what I believe to be true in your baseball. The way he's played baseball is the batter goes up to bat and he can go out at any time. He can go out from between home and first, between first and second, second and third. The only time that guy scores a run is when he makes it home. The only time he's safe is when he makes it home.
Amen.
It's the same with a Christian. The only time we are truly safe is when we get home.
Amen.
Any time up to then, we can be out. Whether it's to a fly ball, or a strikeout, or we're tagged,
yep.
We can go out at any time.
I'm going to be saved. right? I'm going to be saved. I'm not saved yet. I'm not safe at home yet. You don't score a run from the, on second
base. You get home, you're truly saved.
But if a person hits a home run and that is coming to the knowledge of Christ, the home run is not recorded until that batter touches home plate.
You know, guys,
he's still got to run around the bases.
Unbelievable. This is so good, isn't it? I heard my dad and another guy when I was in Little League, if you can believe this. I was like, 10, 11 years old, but this has always stuck with me. My dad was my Little League coach. And we had a goofy guy on our Little League baseball team, and he hit a home run, and he hit it over the fence. And he's running around the bases, jumping up, down. He's all excited, comes around, and he does not touch home plate in the celebration. 10 years old, 11 years old, whatever. Goes back to the dugout, and the other coach comes out and tells the umpire, he's out. He didn't touch home plate. And I remember the discussion that took place after that game. Golly, do you have to touch home plate for it to be a home run? If the ball's hit over the fence, they can't get the ball back. That's a home run. Yeah, but it's not a home run until you touch all the bases. And he missed home plate. No, but it's hit over the fence. It's an automatic home run. No, there's no such thing as an automatic home run. You have to run around and touch every one of those bases. And if you hit a home run and you miss second base, you don't step on the base. Not a run. Same thing here, Nick, because that's a great illustration. Great illustration. See, here's what I'm trying to help us to see. I believe there is a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit coming. And the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is going to be so powerful that it's going to be nearly irresistible, that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And what's that going to look like? What's going to be that calamity? What's going to be that thing in these last days when Joel says the Lord's going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh? When all this calamity comes and poof, when the Holy Spirit comes rushing in. Oh, Lord, do I want to go there? Oh, okay. You have to have eyes to see. And right now we're living. I'm going to go there. We're living in a cult. I just got some peace because, see, I've been trying to not let this out. And the Lord wants me to let it out. Just got some peace. See, the problem is, thank you, Lord. You know, the average Christian, the average person sitting right in here, there's 26 of us today, a lot of guys sleeping in on the shame of you guys. If I were to go down through here, I'm looking, if I could go to Karen and Craig and Sherry and Serge and Rob and Ray and Paul and Nick and Linda and Kevin and John and Jody and Jared and George and Don and David and Dale and Christina and Chad and Bobby and the phone number and Vince and Lyndall and Larry and John. If I were to go down through there and ask you this, don't answer. When is the last time you shared the gospel with somebody? Some of you'd have to do some hard thinking. And the reason we don't share the gospel with people is we don't know how. And they don't teach us how to do it. In fact, I don't even know how I got saved, how that process got me saved. I was reading this little book, Taking Men Alive. And the most profound thing happened. Taking Men Alive. When was this written? Copyright 2014. No, the original one, 1973. No, 19. Doesn't matter. Taking Men Alive by Jim Wilson, author of Principles of War. He said something in here that was so profound to me, which I explained to you. First of all, people are blind. They've been blinded. The God of this world is blinded. Now, I've often watched, I watched some of my friends who are down on what they call Southern Decadence, which is a story there, Dale. This is the anniversary of Katrina coming up. How many years ago was that, Neil? Hurricane Katrina. Because it hit on 2005. Because Katrina hit right on the tail of Southern Decadence. Southern Decadence going on in Louisiana, New Orleans right now, and finishing up. And I'm watching some of my friends down there, guys I consider friends, and they're out there and they're carrying around their signs. Turn or burn, repent or perish. We all know what the signs are. The guys are out there preaching the gospel, and we know we've been taught this, that my word will not return void, but it will perform that which I sent it to do. And a lot of street preachers being one of them, we like to go out there and we like to just read from the word. Is David Arthur in here today? I didn't see him down in there. And listen, we are sharing the gospel of Jesus, the gospel of the kingdom of God, with those whose eyes are blind. They're blind. One of the illustrations that this guy uses, that Jim Wilson uses in his book, is profound. He said, there's two things that are necessary. Let me back up. Do you know how to share the gospel? Do you do it regularly? And if you're in here and you come, you get up on Labor Day morning to turn on this show, you have a hunger inside you. Why are you not sharing the gospel more? Talking to me. The average guys can't do it. Never. Many on here have never done it, really. And Jim Wilson makes this point, I thought it was really profound. God of this world is blind. And he uses this illustration. Let's say you and I walk into an extremely dark room, pitch dark. Black, pitch black. You go in there and you close your eyes. It's pitch black and you close your eyes. So there I am, totally dark in the room. And my eyes are shut, which makes it doubly dark. And all of a sudden, somebody comes in with a lantern. Will I see the light? The light enters into the room, the totally pitch black dark room, and my eyes are shut, and I got my hands over them, and this lantern shows up inside this dark, dark, deep cave. Will I see it? Then he says, do this. He said, go into that same dark, pitch dark, total, complete darkness. Yes. Okay, good. I'll get good. Thanks. Go into the same total, deep, complete darkness. And my eyes are open in this total, complete darkness. And somebody comes walking in with a lantern into this totally, completely dark room. Will I see the light? If my eyes are open? Yeah, sure I will. And so what's going on? What's happening with us in America today? David, even though, David, you're in here late, this will speak to your heart. If my eyes are this, I'm not looking for the light. You could bring a spotlight into the room, and I'm not going to look at it. You could come in, and you could preach from the book of John all you want to, and if I don't want to see it, I am not going to see it. So one of the problems that we're dealing with in modern Christianity is we are shining light to those who don't want to see it. So I go to the gay pride parade, go to Southern Decadence, go to the abortion clinics. Sometimes when I go to the abortion clinics, I'll go with people who are reading from the Word. That's how they minister outside this. They read the word. I do that sometimes. Well, what if as I'm reading the word, you know, the Bible says that the word will not return void, but it will perform that which it's sent it to do, which it was sent to do. What if that, all the time I'm la, 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 which is, we know that's going on now when we go out there. They do, when we go minister at the abortion clinics, they come, they blow horns in our faces and play music and everything and try to keep it from being heard. We cannot shine the light. Someone who doesn't, whose eyes are not open, cannot, will not receive the light. Is anybody picking up where I'm heading yet? Anybody picking it up yet? Come on, somebody tell us. Give me some feedback here. Is anybody kind of see where I'm going? Are you there? I'm going to take that.
I'm reminded of the time that...
Hey, Coach, can you hear me?
Yes.
I got something. I was watching Israel, Reuben Israel, going through New Orleans there yesterday.
Right.
Now, I mean, I don't think he reached anybody for the Lord with that kind of... I mean, they just... crowd that does not want to hear. Are we just throwing our pearls before swine when we do this?
They got the people he's speaking. I'm not criticizing him. God bless him. I would have loved to have gone with him. I know some people who are with him. I am not criticizing. This is a personal revelation that I've received. Okay.
They cannot hear.
They don't want to.
Right. Yeah.
So the important thing that we have to do, understand this, the God of this world has blinded, right? So we're trying to share the gospel with people who are blind. In other words, people who cannot see. Now, in order, we're in that dark room again, right? All the lights are shut out and my hands are covered and the gospel comes walking in. Am I going to see the light? No. Why? Because my eyes can't see the light. So in order for the gospel to become effective, the first thing that has to happen is the eyes have to be open. So those of us who are doing street ministry, David, we have to first, if we do not open their eyes, they cannot see. And we have been convinced, another one of those things, I speak the word of God and it won't return void. It will perform that which I sent it to do. Not if it's not received. Not if they're not open. So the average guy, when he shows up doing street ministry, which is me, I show up with a sign, different things. I'm going to explain this. Hang on with me. Hang in there with me. I show up with something that immediately when the people see the sign, they do this. And this. Because they are hard set against. I ain't gonna look at that and I ain't gonna hear that. And word's not gonna penetrate. You with me, David? Anybody with me yet? I don't even know. I don't know if I'm just talking to myself. I got this revelation. Somebody come in here, man.
Acts tells us in chapter 8, a fellow by the name of Philip, the Spirit said, "Hey, Philip, get up, head on that road that heads to Damascus." And he got up and headed to Rome, the road that led to Damascus. He didn't know why he was doing it, but the Spirit told him to, so he was doing it. And then there was this eunuch sitting in a chariot reading the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures that he had at his availability there. And when Philip saw that, the Spirit gave him knowledge. That's why you're here. And then Philip, from that point, ran to that man. And I don't know how long they spent talking back, but Philip explained the scriptures that the eunuch had been reading and applied Jesus into those scriptures. And we all know what happened from that. But the point is you're absolutely right. The Holy Spirit sent Philip to someone whose ears and eyes were open.
Amen. So listen, so how many people are we dealing with in America today? Let's get away from Southern decadence and the gay pride parades. Let's get right into your family. How many people in your family, when you begin to say something about the Lord, do this?
Yeah, Coach. This is Brother Jeff Fallon.
Yeah, Jeff.
My wife and I celebrated our 40th anniversary recently, but we went to go pick her up, and I took her. She went with me to my mother's. And I honestly, it was the first time I ever talked to her about God. It was amazing. But the thing is, she is so ingrained in her staunch Democrat mindset, she still challenged it. I give it so simply to her, the gospel, to understand it. And she just absolutely refused.
Because her eyes are shut, aren't they? See, listen, folks, please, I'm telling you, I'm hearing this from the Lord. You can't see if you don't want to see. They don't want to see. Right? They're turned off by religion. So they've been hurt. Who knows whatever it is, but they're right here. And no matter how much light you bring into that room, they ain't going to see because they don't want to see. They're turned off from it. We're dealing with a lot of that in America today. So what do we have to do? Do we have to go share the gospel, or do we have to go open their eyes?
John 6:44. This requires that prayer ahead of time. In effect, people have come to Christ through it. It's amazing, but you have to prepare your heart. You have to let the Holy Spirit work within you, and the words are given to you.
I agree with that. Hang on a second, though, Jeff. I agree with you, Jeff, but hang on with me a second. The word, the light is not going to penetrate if their eyes are not open. Anybody following me out there? We are trying to bring light to those whose eyes are shut. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, in order to give them the light, how do I open their eyes? There it is. In order to give them the light, how do I open their eyes? Because if they're like this, no matter how much I preach to them, no matter what, they are not going to receive.
You cannot open their eyes unless the Holy Spirit is using you and you are.
Of course.
You can't do it by your own plan and your own program. You can't do it.
But listen, yes, no, we can't. But yes, we can, though. And here's what I mean. We got to make them hungry. We got to make them open their eyes before they will see the truth. I've watched David Arthur out on the street. David has shown me this. Are you with us, David?
I think somebody said, Coach.
David has shown me this. As a guy who lived that lifestyle, when we show up at the gay pride parade with our signs and all that stuff, I'll still continue. That's just me. I'll do it. Here's the truth. As soon as they see the sign, they're like this. You can put a flashlight right straight in their eyes and they are not going to see because they don't want to see. What you have to do before you shine the light is do this. Make their eyes open to the possibility. David, am I wrong? Help me out here.
No, Coach, there's a few things. One, I think that everybody, we all need to realize that the word that's spoken of in Isaiah 55 is not the words in the book. The word is Jesus. The word spoken of in Isaiah 55 by Isaiah is Jesus. He's speaking of the coming of the Messiah. As he goes down, he talks about the sure mercies of David. That is the prophecy of Jesus. So Jesus, the word was God, was with God. The word became flesh, the man Jesus Christ. That the word didn't return void. The word set forth exactly what God set the word forth to do. That's the word spoken of in Isaiah 55. It's not the words in the book. So we know the gospel is powerful, and I say that because this is the actual study I'm working on, and this is exactly what I was going to talk about this morning on my show. So, and I say that because when we say, how do we open their eyes? Well, we're called to be salt and light. Salt makes people thirsty. So we have to make people thirst for the living water. Make them thirst for Jesus. And how do we do that? In Revelations, it tells us that they, the overcomers, they overcame because of the blood of Jesus and the power of our testimonies. You see, there's people who said to me not that long ago, well, David, we don't have a testimony. We're just inverts. We don't have a testimony. And I say, nonsense. We all have a testimony. Because everybody out there has a testimony, has an issue, has a problem. So everybody out there can relate to every single one of us in some way, shape, or form. We don't have to have been homosexual or transgender or prostitutes to go to a homosexual parade and witness to people, because people will relate to our issues and to our problems because they have issues and problems. We are all alike.
Okay, so listen. Folks, please, I'm not getting soft. Please understand, I'm not getting soft with the preaching of the word. However, preaching to a blind, shining light to a blind man isn't very good. So,
no, you have to tap them on their shoulder and actually and deal with them one-on-one.
So I think back to one of my friends at the Gay Pride Parade. He turned to a woman who was standing beside him. I wish I could remember who it was. We're standing at the Gay Pride Parade, and we're all doing our thing, preaching, and we're doing whatever. He turns to a woman beside him, and he points at some six-year-old girl walking down the parade. And he turns to the woman beside him, and he says, "Hey, you think that's okay, that little girl walking in this parade?" Now, folks, that opens an eye. Didn't give the gospel, didn't do anything at all about that, but it opened the eye. She peeked out a little bit, because now all of a sudden, it became real to her. You think that's okay? And so many people have been harmed by the gospel so much that we've got to get them to somehow to open their eyes. And you know what? I noticed this. Flip Benham did a great job of preaching the gospel at the funeral. Do you know funerals open people's eyes? Do you know that the funeral is a great place to preach the gospel? Why? Because people are peeking out. They're looking. The idea of death is very real to them. Here's Jeremiah laying in that casket. Amen. And people are talking about Jeremiah's not there. He's someplace else. People are saying, what? What? And so one of the mistakes I've been making in some of my street ministry is this is going to sound awful, Larry. I've been trusting this to do the job. The blind people, the deaf people, they can't see this light. That's why the scripture says one man plants, another man waters, but it's God that gives the increase. And so when I'm around my own family, I'm not constantly bombarding them with, you need to get saved. You got to stop. I don't do that, right? I just try to live my life. I let them look around. It happened again yesterday. You're talking about families. We're in families. And I just said, well, somebody said, oh, you had the most wonderful girls. And I just smiled. What do you think that is? What do you think they're so wonderful so many others aren't? Eyes open. Anybody with me today? Anybody understand what I'm saying? We're trying to give the gospel to blind people. We got to open their eyes. We have to use experiences in our own lives. We have to be able to relate to them where they are and say, yeah, I used to be like that too. However, and open their eyes. Until you open their eyes, the light cannot penetrate.
I think to do that, Coach, we have to build a rapport with them in this world, around them, let them see things so we can then talk to them about spiritual things. You taught us that a long time ago, right?
Right, right. But also, as Jeff was saying, so I can't remember who's saying it. Listen, somebody I don't even know may have already opened their eyes. Their eyes may be open, even though it doesn't. Did I tell you this story the other day?
was at the golf course. I think I did. You know, I play in a golf league with a bunch of, we call it the pirate league, because they're all lost. And I always go and I wear my Jesus hat. I wear, you know, and I don't think I'm so obnoxious that they don't want to play golf with me. I think they probably enjoy it. I'm easy going, and I'm playing with this guy on Wednesday. It's Wednesday night golf. I'm playing with him, and I hit a chip shot, and it went up, and it just didn't bounce the right way. And out of the blue, he said to me, with my microphone, out of the blue, he said to me, hey, Coach, maybe you need to pray that the Lord will let that ball hit a sprinkler head and kick the other way. And I thought, whoa, what an opening. He's open to what I'm preaching. Start a conversation. He watches on Facebook. He follows on Facebook. About as pagan a lost guy as you could ever see. Now his eyes are open. He doesn't get it yet. He doesn't get it all, but he's open. So one of the things that we have to be able to do, as Jeff was saying, allow the Holy Spirit to show us whose eyes are open. Because there's a different approach to a guy whose eyes are open as to a guy who will not see. And if you are dealing with people who will not see, you are wasting your time. You're wasting your time. But ask the Lord to show you through conversation if the eye is cracked a little bit. Or, Lord, give me the right words to say, the right question to ask, to make him show me his eyes are open, or to open his eyes. And you know what? If I can open his eyes, somebody else may bring him to the Lord, but it will never bring a blind man to the Lord because he can't see. And the God of this world's blinded them. They're blinded. They hate religion. They hate it.
Absolutely. You know, not even Jesus went around trying to open everybody's eyes. He told the disciples, I speak to these people in parables so that those who have ears cannot hear and eyes cannot see.
Isn't that something? Whosoever. Yeah.
If it's like the river of life, right? And if Christians are all the little beads of water, all you do is you're looking around and you're saying, as you're going down by, there's a guy on the shore, right? He's the shore of the water. He's looking in, and you're going down the river. Maybe you're floating down the river, you know, and you're looking up at him and you say, hey, man, come on in. And then he says, no. You say, okay, well, I'm going down the river. See you later. I mean, I wish you'd come in and join us, but I got places to be. I got to follow Christ. I'm going down the river of life. You can come in anytime, but it's your choice to come in. You know,
Jared, pull up, go to you. I've used this before. This song will make me, this is going to make me weep. I'm on my way to heaven. It's the song that, was written for the movie. What's the name of that movie? Everybody's watching that movie, that Christian movie. I can only imagine what my eyes will see. That one, right? But that's not what I want you to see. Cause this is it. This is why this song pierced my heart so much. When the first time I heard it, I wept. The first time I heard it, and it's called, I'm on my way to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven. Now watch this. Watch this. See? See if this song opens eyes. Imagine this song being played to a lost guy. Rather than I can only imagine. See, I can only imagine. That's for a saved guy. What about the unsaved guy? I'm on my way to heaven. What's the guy's name? It doesn't matter. Go ahead and play it, Jared, real quick. Dennis Quaid. Dennis Quaid. Imagine this song to a lost guy. To a lost guy.
My life may not be roses, but still I'm gonna be alright. long as I got my Savior by my side. He freed me from the heavy chains that had bound my broken heart. Picked me up, gave me a brand new start.
Wait a second, Jared. Picked me up, gave me a brand new start. So that's an eye opener. Some guy says, my life's screwed up. I need a new start. Now my eyes are open. How do I do that? Go ahead, Jared.
Now I'm on my way to heaven. On my way to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven. So I can't be staying long. I was serving time in prison in a solitary cell, sentenced by a judge and jury of myself. Then he blessed me, forgave me, touched me with his love, shine down all his glory from above.
Hey, open your eyes! That opened your eyes! I want some of that! How'd that happen to you, dude? Are you kidding? Go ahead.
Now I'm on my way to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven. So I can't be staying long.
I want to make things right. You and me, if God can forgive everybody else, why can't he forgive me?
And he walks with me every day. Holds my hand and points the way.
Figured out why you like junk.
What?
Why you like to fix things. Why you make something out of nothing all the time. They got a word for that. What's that word?
It's redemption.
Redemption. Yeah.
My dad was a monster. And I saw God transform him from a man that I hated into the man I wanted to become.
And he will walk with you every day. The shepherd's lamp will guide you every step along the way. Now I'm on my way to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven. On my way to heaven. So I can't be staying long. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven. Would you like to come along? Come along. Come along, friend. Hey.
So see, that song's an eye-opener. It's an eye-opener. What does that guy have that I'd like to have? How do I get that? What is that? How do I get it? The kingdom of God, the Bible says, is not meat and drink. How many miserable people do you know? They're just miserable. And they can't drink enough. They can't smoke enough. They can't spend enough. They can't have sex enough. They can't have enough because The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. The Holy Ghost. Those are the three things. Righteousness, peace, and joy. They can't buy those things. They can't buy them. So we have to understand that the God of this world has blinded them. And before we can ever get people saved, we got to open their eyes. Help them open their eyes. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.